Am I on? All right. Hit the right button. All right, tonight we're going to tackle the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And as I was preparing this message, it struck me that starting off with humor, as I usually do, might make light of the seriousness of this sin. We have enough of the world that's doing that right now. So I didn't want to do that. So you just have to pay attention without it. My plan to break this message into four parts: defining authority, defining adultery and its variables, show the consequences, show the means to avoid the sin, and show some solutions to defeat it. So would you pray with me first? Father, may my words be spoken in truth. Use your message to bring about change in our attitude and our actions if necessary. But most of all, may they glorify you, Lord. Amen. I'm sorry, because this is not going to be one of those messages that encourage or build up your self-esteem. In fact, it may bring on some guilt. If it's repentant guilt, I'm not sorry. This message is based on six scriptures. If you want to write them down, I'm going to give them to you in a row here. Exodus 20, verse 14. Proverbs 6, 32. Matthew 5, 28. Hosea chapter 2. James chapter 4, verse 4. And Romans chapter 7. We will look at two kinds of adultery, sexual and spiritual adultery. Sexual adultery is usually thought of as intimacy with someone other than your spouse. But Jesus expanded that in Matthew 5:28 when he said, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery." So Jesus is teaching us that adultery is more than the common definition we think about. It can occur either in reality or fantasy. There are many forms of sexual immorality takes. The scripture never intends us to be exhaustive. Sex changes with times. Our sin changes with times. There is no mention of pornography in scripture because there wasn't any print pictures or media available at that time. Jesus' comment that looking at women lustfully is sinful shows us that there is more to this sin than intimacy. He didn't need to mention man looking at men lustfully, or woman looking at women lustfully, or an adult looking at a child lustfully, or any other sexual sins. They are all sins of the heart. They all have the wrong object of desire. So let's look at spiritual adultery. Nothing undermines a marriage more than adultery. But there is an adultery that is worse. Spiritual adultery, the act of desiring something of the world or making of another God to replace God. Hosea 2 gives us a good lesson of how God hates it. The Israelites decided to take other lovers, false gods, Baal, instead of God, after God had provided for all their needs. Spiritual adultery, knowing God but abandoning him, was something else. Spiritual adultery happens when much more often than in marriages. James 4:4, "You adulterous people, do not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friends of the world makes himself an enemy of God." This verse shows us we don't have to be following other gods to commit adultery. So what does a friend of the world entail? If your values, loves, and deeds are wholly at odds with what pleases our Creator, you're guilty. We must guard ourselves from those ungodly values, and don't let them become patterns of thoughts and deeds. Some of these examples may be houses, or cars, or your job, or money. All those things can become values that don't honor God, especially if they become too strong and are more valued than what God is. So these things have consequences. Our world say that our desires define us, but Scripture tells us that our desires can mislead us. Besides the obvious broken relationships with God, which is enough, the defiling of God's purpose and His creation, there is pain and fear for those who are victimized. When someone is used, misused, or abused, sex can become very dark. It can bring guilt and shame. When adultery occurs, three commandments are broken, almost always: the adultery, lying, and coveting. Experiences of sexual sin can bring a confusion of conscience. The conscience can feel no guilt or shame. Instead, we can defend it and justify it. There is no need for mercy because we're okay with it. We have to be careful of that. Or our conscience can get anguished. We can be an anguished conscience, and it remains in pain. Feelings of guilt and shame become self-condemnation. What follows is a sense of attempts to punish, rationalize, and eventually all leads to despair. So now let's look at how to avoid sexual temptations. I'm going to give you a word here, and you're going to remember it. Run. We see examples of adulterous temptations in Scripture with Joseph and King David. One ran away, one ran towards it. Remember the story of Joseph with Potiphar's wife and how he ran that night? King David, on the other hand, actually worked towards making it happen. Running may mean avoiding a situation where you know you have been tempted before. The internet, your phone, maybe a magazine rack at the store. The temptation of sexual sin is not limited to men either. Women are increasingly viewing pornography. We see a transition from softcore to openly erotic pornographic writings and movies. Readers and viewers of 50 Shades of Grey are reported to be 75 to 80% female. Sexual romantic sin is as bad as the male versions. Even some Hallmark movies, which I pick on Hallmark only because they're supposed to have a reputation of being a family movie, right? Even the Hallmark movies have moved into the realm of pornographic. Movies that portray homosexual behavior, couples living with each other, unmarried, and movies that the couples don't end up getting married in the end. All sinful. The only way we can avoid that is turn it off. So how do we beat it? How do we beat adultery? Number one, practice being in the presence of God at all times. Realize that God is aware of our actions at all times. There is no time for a Christian that He isn't there. Think of Him always walking alongside you. If you actually picture, you know, I know God that His Spirit indwells in us, but if you can actually picture Him walking with you, and whenever you see a temptation, that you know He's right there watching you in that situation, it can make you think twice at least, you know. So I think that's a good thing to practice. Oops. Number two, memorize the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. Carry it with you into the situations that challenge you. Very important. Number three, hang with people of God. We were created to be in fellowship. When we are with people of like beliefs, we can protect each other and be accountable to each other. So being in fellowship with other believers can help you. Number four, accept forgiveness from God. We all fall in some variation of sin, but adultery is not an unforgivable sin. Ask for it and accept it. Number five, realize that you are capable of adultery. We will make it easier. It will make it easier to fight it. When desire, temptation, and opportunity come together, run. Now, if you look at desire, desire is something that's kind of built into us. A sexual desire is built into us. There's not much we can do about that. Temptation is something that's all around us. It's hard to control temptation also. But opportunity, we do have control of. And that's when we have to run. So keep that in mind when you get in those situations. And running may mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people in a lot of different situations. You have to be aware and be ready to do whatever you can do. My goal this evening has been to make you aware that there are many subtle influences happening all around us to convince us that what God has called sin is okay. We see it in photographs, movies, and even songs. So be choosy. Watch for how the world is trying to seduce us into the evil ways of thinking. Realize that we are all capable of committing adultery. No one should feel they are immune to it. And be ready to run. For those who may have already recognized or succumbed to this sin, remember that God will forgive you if you ask for his forgiveness. His grace is greater. He wants you to walk towards him with confidence and not failure. Hopefully this message has opened your eyes, because I know it has opened mine. So let's pray. Father, we know that our world is full of temptations. But we also know, Father, that you are stronger. Father, that you will lead us away from it if we ask. And Father, that you will give us the strength that we need. So we ask, Lord, that when we're in these situations, that you would take control. Father, help us. Help us to avoid the sin of adultery. And may you be glorified with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.